The Gone Cold podcast may contain violent or graphic subject matter. Listener discretion is advised.
And at this point, I mean, we don't even care the who, the why, the what. We just want to know where. Where's David? Where's David? That's all we care about right now.
I grew up with old David. That's my cousin, man. And he was about the same age, you know. We basically lived with each other throughout the years, man, in the projects from adolescent years, you know. And I just hate the fact that he's missing and nobody knows where he at. But, you know, if anybody know where his whereabouts are, man, I mean, I wish they would just let it be known, because the family is going through so much, you know, dealing with not knowing where he at, you know. And I think it would be a lot of closure to the family if somebody just came up and told where he was at, you know, or what had happened, you know. I mean, we don't never know, but my prayer goes out to the family, and I'm just praying that he's still with us, though, you know what I mean, and he'll come back soon, you know. If you're out there somewhere, man, please let us know where you're at, what's going on. Let somebody in the family know, man. You know, because it's been too many years gone without you out here, man. And we miss you and love you, man. Remember the days we grew up as kids all together, man. We never thought nothing like this would happen in our lifetime. But if anybody out there know where his whereabouts is, man, just let it be known. Because if you had to go through the same thing, man, you know, it's rough on the family. And they want to have some closure of some type bit, you know. Love you, fam.
David Emerson Jr. has been missing from Snyder, Texas, since 2014. Not only has his disappearance left his family searching for answers, it has confounded police. There are no clues, no evidence of what happened to the then 35-year-old man. Nothing at all to point them in the right direction. Since no crime has been committed when an adult vanishes of their own free will, police must rely on evidence of foul play to truly investigate an adult missing persons case, something that doesn't exist when it comes to David. This can be overwhelmingly frustrating and disheartening for family members of the missing, and for good reason. They usually know their loved one better than any police or FBI statistic, so it's immensely difficult for them to accept police standard procedure or even experiential reassurances. A vast majority of missing adults have indeed left of their own free will, but a vast majority of those return or are found within 48 hours. The disappearance was often the result of a hasty decision brought on by desperation or mental health issues. Adults who have disappeared intentionally for months or years, then, are uncommon, but clear-cut statistics are impossibly elusive for obvious reasons. Sonia Gonzalez is a friend of David's and has made it her mission to find him.
Well, we had a little girl in Colorado City that went missing in 2010. Her name was Haley Dunn. Me and my husband, and we went out and helped with the searches and stuff because she went to school with my daughter. They were in the same class. I don't know, that led me to want to help David. I grew up with David. We went to school together in Colorado City. He lived two blocks down from me in the government housing, and him and his cousins would, like, come over and jump on the trampoline, and my dad was redoing our house at the time, and so they would come watch my dad with his construction and stuff, and we just grew up together. And then he moved back to Snyder, where his mom lived. He was just staying with, like, friends and stuff in Colorado City. He went back to Snyder, finished high school there. He was always, like, one of the popular kids, you know, always giving and outgoing and always smiling, never took anything serious. I was working in Snyder from, like, 2007 to 2013. And, you know, like, I would go eat at a restaurant over there called Miss Kathy's Southern Comfort or Southern Cooking or something like that. And he was a waiter there. So we got to talking and stuff, you know, still real nice, always outgoing, just a real nice person. I had seen, I guess, at the beginning of 2015 that he was missing. They really didn't give any details. They were just, like, looking for him. Have you seen him? Whatever. And they had created a page, but then the page went away, so I assumed he was found. I went in March of 2015 and helped create the nameless because the police department hadn't and the family hadn't. So I went and created that. That way they would, you know, have to investigate it. And then in 2016, it was about April, I started asking his family, you know, had he been found, because he still wasn't posting, like, on Facebook and stuff. And they were like, no, he hadn't been found. And so I went to the police department there in Snyder, Texas, and followed up with Sergeant Counts, which is the detective over the case, to try to figure out what was going on. And he said, you know, that David was still missing, that the initial reports were from the roommates that he went to Lubbock. And, you know, those leads had been followed up on, and he hadn't been found in Lubbock, and that he had taken the cadaver dogs out near the house he went missing from. And then there was, like, an aerial search with a helicopter, and nothing had been found. I mean, they never figured out where David went. I do the legwork. I do the digging. I do the communication with the police department. I do all the forms to submit to groups to get him approved. I work really hard on his case. I usually stay up till 2 or 3 in the morning, you know, researching and digging and reading other missing person cases to see if I could find something from theirs to put to his, you know. I mean, just research, research, research. I wasn't a professional at this. I just jumped in feet first.
Many aspects of David's case have been either fine-tuned or proven to be incorrect by Sonia's work. The official police report indicates that David went missing before he most likely did, particularly if foul play was involved. Because David, or who is presumed to be David, was active on social media and seen by his cousin after the date he is thought to have disappeared, several details of and about him at the time of his disappearance have become shrouded in even more mystery.
The original story was that Christmas Eve he went missing in 2014. He hadn't been seen since Christmas Eve at his cousin Jamal's birthday party. Nobody'd seen him after that. Well, we have determined, me and some people that work behind the scenes on the Missing David page, that he existed through December 31st through his Facebook. There's messages and FaceTime calls through December 31st. And visiting with Jamal, we determined that the clothing description is also wrong. The night of his party, David was wearing, like, a red shirt with gold lettering and some black shoes, and he couldn't remember exactly what else. He also said that he had seen David on his porch on New Year's Eve and invited him over. So New Year's Eve is actually probably the time frame we're looking at instead of Christmas Eve. But, you know, it was reported by the family December 24th, so that's what the police department has to keep. But David was like a nomad. He did get up and go. I mean, he could be in North Dakota today and back in Snyder tomorrow, and nobody would ever know he was gone. And he always came back.
Because all of David's possessions were removed from the house in which he was living, and he did not own a car, if he vanished of his own free will, someone would have had to help him leave. If there is an individual who moved David and his belongings to a different location, that individual has yet to come forward.
David did not have a car. He did not have a driver's license. He often borrowed a neighbor's car. He had it on Christmas Eve, but I can't find that he used it on New Year's Eve. From what I understand, the neighbors were out of town on New Year's Eve. I can't pinpoint how he got from point A to point B because he did not have a car. So somebody out there has information. Either they gave him a ride somewhere or somebody did something to him, because David could not have walked and never been found. His mom said he had, like, a laptop, an iPad, He had like an air mattress that rolled up and had, it would go in a backpack. He had clothing, lots of clothing, jewelry, shoes. He was a big shoe collector, it looked like. I just don't know how none of his stuff has been found. He didn't have a car. Somebody out there has the information. If they could just say, hey, I picked him up and dropped him off at a convenience store in this location, instead of, if they don't want to give the details, at least lead us in the right direction.
Sonia has explored many leads in David Emerson's disappearance. From gruesome and grisly rumors of David's demise to various sightings in Lubbock and other areas. But no lead has turned up anything significant.
There's a bunch of different hearsay. It's not fact, but, hearsay is that David knew too much about, the roommate's drug business, and so they bludgeoned him to death and burned his body, and there's just all kinds of horrific stories that go around. So, we have to either look at, was he murdered? Did he leave on his own accord? There's different avenues we have to look at, but there's no concrete path to follow. And there's absolutely no clues left behind. We've never found any of his belongings. David journaled. We haven't been able to find those. Just nothing. There's nothing. It's like the path ends on December 31st of 2014. We did see one individual walking in Lubbock. It was raining, so I couldn't catch up with him, but his gait was similar to David's. His body was shaped like David's. He walked like David. His mannerisms seemed to be like David, but I lost him trying to get through the rain and the traffic. Lubbock's pretty large. One homeless individual did identify a picture without any writing on it as D, which is David's nickname. So, I explored that avenue for over a year, and I could never find this D person, could never find David. The homeless guy, took me to where he lives. So if I ever decide to go back there, I can go to his house and he'll help me find David. I met up with him two other times and I never had any luck finding anything. But there was leads in Lubbock. They didn't pan out. I've reached out to every homeless person, community, church, organization in Lubbock, and it hasn't been fruitful. And a lot of them, like the Salvation Army, kicked me out because it's none of my business if I'm looking for a person that lives there because they choose to be there and don't want to be found. So, they're really harsh at the Salvation Army about protecting their clients.
In May of 2015, activity on David's Facebook Messenger sparked instant responses from many of David's friends and family. An alert was sent to David's friends that he had joined Messenger, an alert that virtually everyone who utilizes the social media site is sure to be familiar with. Not only were friends and family hoping that it was David, some also asked that whoever prompted this activity provide evidence that David is still alive. Multiple news outlets immediately released stories. Unfortunately, the activity proved to be from hackers from another country. And unfortunately still, the media seems to have failed to update their stories explaining such. David's social security number was also used by an imposter in San Antonio, but no connection to David or the Snyder area could be found with the individual using the number. Snyder, Texas sits between Lubbock to the northwest and Abilene to the southeast. It's virtually in the dead center of Scurry County. The population of Snyder is somewhere around 11,300, and the town's economy, as well as the county, continues to be driven at least partially by the very commodities that initially fed its growth back in the late 1800s, cattle and cotton. Snyder, like many Texas cities and towns, boomed upon oil discovery in the mid-20th century and, in fact, Scurry County led other Texas counties in oil production for many years due to a specific technological extraction method created there. Snyder's downtown looks like the perfect example of a rural county hub. Most of the town's late 19th century and early 20th century architecture still stands, which lends itself to the quintessential picturesque version of a city's physicality that films and television tend to express in their depictions of wholesome and down-home communities. And it probably was something close to that at some point in time. However, Snyder's crime rate for many years now tells another story. According to FBI statistics, the violent crime rate in the town has significantly surpassed the national average for a majority of the last 15 years, and in several of those, drastically surpassed the national violent crime rate would perhaps be a better descriptor. It's difficult to track, though, where missing persons fit or could potentially fit into such crime statistics. Like most rural towns and larger cities for that matter, opportunity is limited in Snyder, which breeds and perpetuates not only feelings of desperation, but also the need to seek self-medication and, in turn, creates an opportunity to supply for that demand. Drugs are undoubtedly a major player in Snyder's violent crime rate.
Snyder has a lot of crime related to the drugs. There's a big drug problem in Snyder. Methamphetamines, cocaine, stuff like that. Like, there's motels that people go to for drugs. You learn a lot when you're out there digging for information on other things. I never realized how ugly the world was till I started looking for missing people.
David Emerson's roommates were alleged drug dealers. This isn't just hearsay. Their criminal records do more than attest for this and suggest that they weren't necessarily what you'd call small time. Many consider their accounts and actions after police began investigating as suspect, to say the least.
He lived in this house with these five roommates. And initially, like when his family started looking for him, they would go to the house, you know, and ask where David was. And initially they said that he moved to Tennessee with some girl. And then they changed it. He went to Lubbock. He moved to Lubbock. One of the girls that lived there went to David's mom's house. And she was saying, you know, that David had taken some money from them and some other bizarre stuff. And then the police wouldn't let David's family file him missing because he had the right not to be found. You know, if he was a grown adult and if circumstances were different, you know, he had the right to go wherever he wants to go. And so when the family finally filed him missing on February 19th, they were finally allowed to. The roommates packed up that whole house and were gone within days once the police started investigating that David was missing. Three of them went back to the Waco area, and then two of them, like, moved to Big Spring. And then, like, in March 2016, two of the roommates, the ones that actually rented the house, were both arrested for drugs, and they were both sent to federal prison. One of them just got out on December 19th of this year. The other one's not scheduled to get out till January 2023, and then the other three live in the Waco area. So two of them went to Big Spring and three of them went to Waco. Looking at their Facebooks, they're all still connected, but none of them are willing to talk, you know, about what they know or where David might be or the details of the disappearance or anything. You know, it's like they don't know anything. Because initially, let's see, they didn't see him on Christmas and he always comes for Christmas dinner. So that raised up a red flag. And then after the first of the year, his mom had got a letter and so she took it to the house to give to him, and that's when she found out, you know, that he hadn't been there. They said in 2 weeks. And then she went to the police department, I think, January 15th. The 31st was the actual last day. So 15 days later, and they wouldn't let her file him missing. And so she waits a whole another month while doing her own digging, you know. So, yeah, they had 2 months to do whatever they wanted to do. But as soon as she did file him missing, I mean, they packed up and moved. Boom. As soon as the police started questioning, they were gone. And there was no reason to illumine all the house or anything like that because there was no indication of foul play. So here we are 4 years later with nothing. So I'm just forced to keep sharing his face and his story, what I can. I don't know if they took him somewhere. I don't know if they hurt him. I don't know if somebody else came and got him and took him somewhere. I mean, but transportation is the key, you know. And there is a piece of his puzzle missing, you know. That's why we can't get anywhere, because there's a big chunk missing. And at this point, I mean, we don't even care the who, the why, the what. We just want to know where. Where's David? Where's David? That's all we care about right now. Because after you find David, all the rest of it will fall into place. And then we can't release their names, you know, because they haven't been named persons of interest, so don't say their names. We talk about them.
It certainly isn't my responsibility or my purpose to either defend or berate law enforcement for their investigative efforts on this or any other case. We always reach out to the law enforcement jurisdiction handling the cases we cover, usually to no avail. However, it cannot be stressed enough how difficult it is for police to investigate a missing person case like David Emerson's. Sonia has worked closely with the detective handling David's case, and he is receptive and responsive. Again, though, without a solid lead or evidence of foul play, the police have done virtually everything in their power to find David.
Well, everything, like, I turn into Sergeant Counts. Sergeant Counts is his primary investigator. From what I understand, the whole police department now works the case. It's the Avenue Police Chief. But Sergeant Counts is my go-to person. You know, everything I turn in, he does follow up on, because he'll ask me questions later about the things that I turn in. So I feel like he's actively working it. There's just not a lot coming in because there is no cut path, you know, and the police can't follow up on something if there isn't a concrete lead.
David Emerson's family continues to battle the uncertainty and sadness that has inevitably continued to eat away at them as they attempt to go about their day-to-day lives. His mother's health has declined since he went missing and is, perhaps, a symptom of the heartbreak she has endured. I spoke with her on a few occasions, and the burden David's disappearance has caused is immediately apparent. She, of course, spoke fondly of her son, his warm personality, and his intelligence. Sonia did as well.
David was very intelligent. He could take anything apart, put it back together. Didn't matter what it was. From my understanding, like, he could, like, wire up cameras, like, in different areas to watch the city of Snyder on TV screens in the house he lived in. He was very intelligent. I mean, work history, doesn't have a good work history that I can find. I know he did some modeling in high school and just odd jobs here and there. He loved automotive, I know that. It looked like he got a job as a diesel mechanic, but I can't say whether he started that or not because I've not been able to find a lead to that. Automotive, computer type stuff, more the IT side of it, you know. He liked playing the Xbox from digging around in his account. I don't know, he just had a lot of stuff he could do. He was really smart. Like, he could do automotive, he could do, like, the pipeline stuff. He did construction. He did waitering at the restaurant. He helped cook at the restaurant. An array of things. I mean, just his personality. Like, David was very giving and kind. He would help anybody. I've had a lot of people reach out to me to tell me how he did this for them or that for them, you know. He was always good to their kids, would buy the kids presents, even though he wasn't related to them. There was a point where a car drove into Miss Kathy's. Like, it went over the curb and went in, and he, like, grabbed the people that were in front of the car and, like, saved them from getting hit. To me, he was caring and giving, and whatever happened to him, he didn't deserve, you know?
David Emerson Jr. is approximately 5 feet 10 inches tall and weighs 150 to 170 pounds. He is African American and has black hair and brown eyes. Both of his ears and tongue are pierced.
He's very handsome, well-kept. He always wore jewelry. He changed his shoes out to match his outfit. I mean, he was very detailed. And he has a distinct smile. It's almost perfect to smile. And occasionally he'll wear the little gold things on his teeth. And, I mean, they're not permanent. He takes them off. He does have a tattoo that says D on his right shoulder. His mom's dead on the back right shoulder. He had a dirt bike accident and does have a plate in his face, like around the cheekbone area where the eye socket is.
If you have any information about the disappearance of David Emerson Jr., please contact the Snyder Police Department at 325-573-0261. His case number is 15-02-0073. You can also call the Bring Our Missing Home tip line at 810-294-4858. There is currently a $1,500 reward for information leading to David's whereabouts or what happened to him. We'll be posting a link to a GoFundMe page set up to raise a larger reward on our Facebook page. please consider contributing.
It's just crazy. Some missing persons cases, they can be missing like 3 days and have a $50,000 reward, and the whole community supports them. With David, we have like maybe a handful of the community that support him, and like nobody really interactive with his case.
Please visit missing:DavidEmersonJr-Texas on Facebook to share flyers and help spread the word to get David found. We'd like to extend a huge thank you to Sonia Gonzalez for her invaluable help with David's case. It would have been impossible without her, and the work she's doing to try to find David is inspiring. We'd also like to thank David's cousin, Derek, also known as D-Boone, for his help and contribution to the episode. Derek is immensely talented. My jaw literally dropped when I heard the song he wrote for his beloved cousin, whose disappearance has caused him immeasurable grief and pain. It's a beautiful track, and he was kind enough to let us use it for the show. You can also find a video for the song on the Missing David Emerson Facebook page. Thanks, D-Boone. Here it is.
Yeah, man. Shit. David, you've been missing for a while now, man. Shit. Ain't nobody saying nothing. It's like nobody ain't saying shit. Well, yeah, man. Shit, your family needs you, y'all. For real. Man. Shit, all the tears I cried, man, I lost a lot of people, man. But I ain't saying you gone, but you still feel it in my heart. We're gonna ride for you, baby. For real.
Been some years you've been gone, wish you'd come back home. Everyone hurting inside and feeling left all alone. David ain't marked to be strong, but it's so hard to hold on. Thinking where you could have went or did something go wrong. I know I'm writing this song because I be feeling the pain. Hearing ain't Martha, Shell, and Zach crying, calling your name. And Zach been doing his thing, trying hard to stay sane. But the thought of David missing still bothers his brain. I see the hate and the lines of some people not trying. Put some closure to the sadness when the whole family crying. Ain't no denying, he missing. And we know it's a fact. Ain't got no proof, ain't got no truth of where my nigga is at. We miss you, David. This is one for you and your family too. Praying one day you appear, cause it's been long overdue. Don't have no clue on the incident of what them took place. All I know is that we miss you and that smile on your face. Such a disgrace for the ones who really know what went down. They walk around with the guilt, never making a sound. Only God has the answer, he's the king of the crown. But to the world you may be lost, but to the Lord you found. I never give up on you, fam, and they ain't telling no lie. I keep on riding for you, homie, till the day that I die. I got that FJ in the wind till I see you again. You and AJ, rough, rotten, stunting like you was twin. That's to the end, homie. Shit, that's to the end, homie. My nigga, huh?
We miss you, Dave. We miss you, Dave. We miss you, Dave. We love you, Dave. We love you, Dave. We love you, Dave. We miss you, Dave. We miss you, Dave. We miss you, Dave.
Just thinking of you today, I got some bad news. That PA passed away, man. This stuff can't be true. So in my mind, I'm thinking time while I stay on this grind. So many mysteries going on, too many unsolved crimes. Just look at Haley Dunn, and ain't nothing been done. It's like the world passed you by, ain't nothing new under the sun. But where's the justice and the peace? How the family react when ain't no closure to the murder of C-Dub? And yet, that's why I watch my back, cause ain't no help from authority. Cause death will be the pay, and your children go hungry. We love you, Dave, and everywhere, and I stay down the ride. And from the cradle to the grave, we gon' be on your side. I hope you're alive, fam, and that's the truth from the heart. Maybe one day we'll meet and never ever depart. And we'll do it like we kids with a brand new start. This is real to the bone, this is straight from the heart. That is the real, Dave.
Yeah,
we miss you, man.
That's real, man.
We love you, dog.
Shit, real.
Tell Aunt Martha that we love him.
Shit.
Michelle.
Hope one day we see you, my nigga.
If you're alive out there, don't be playing games, man. We love you, man. Come back home.
We love y'all.
Love you, Aunt Martha. I know you
hurt. Real.
Love you, Michelle. Know y'all hurting out there, Zach. Love y'all.
If you'd like to support Gone Cold Podcast, Texas True Crime, you can do so by visiting patreon.com/gonecoldpodcast. There are several varying donation levels to choose from, with perks to go along with each, including ad-free listening at all levels and Patreon-exclusive episodes available at most levels. Donations help us cover the costs of research and production, and we can't thank y'all enough for your support. You can interact with Gone Cold Podcast on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram by searching Gone Cold Podcast. Thanks for listening, y'all.